Welcome into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Overtime coming at you for the next 2 hours right here on Fan Run Radio. Jake Miller, Davis Rangy, producer Matthew. Overtime is presented by my friend Julia Hurley with Realty Executives. Top 1.5% in the nation. 800 homes sold across the board. 5-star reviews. Give her a call today at 865-237-7328. Tell her the crew from Overtime sent you. It is game day over at the Tommy Bowl as Tennessee takes on McNeese State at 7:15. We're going to take you right up till tip-off, break down a little bit of the game. Not much to break down. Call it like it is.
No.
Tennessee a 35-point favorite.
I'd like to see us cover the spread at least.
Yeah. We need to do that at least.
Yeah, like a 40-80 game.
I'm just kind of interested to see Josiah Jordan James's health, you know. How long is he going to be out? Because Julian Phillips is a great, I wouldn't call him a plan B, but, I mean, he can play for sure.
Speaking of, 50% off now. Anyway,
yep.
Back to sports. Another day goes by that we don't have a 32-team college football playoff, and another day goes by where people are comparing what it would be to the BCS. And when you look at what the BCS would put out, supposedly, obviously BCS does not exist anymore, versus what the college football playoff put out, they're eerily similar. Does that mean that it's still right? Because let's not forget, the BCS kept an undefeated USC team out of the BCS National Championship game, and I think it was 2003. LSU, with two losses, got in and won the championship.
Well, I mean, in that scenario, in what, 2003?
Yeah.
If we had the playoff then USC would have a chance to go up against LSU. So I don't know, but I do agree with your 32-team playoff. I mean, we've talked about it for hours on top of hours.
Mm-hmm.
Do we think it'll ever happen? Probably not.
Probably not.
It might get there eventually. Maybe, no one ever thought we'd go to a 4-team.
And maybe 50 years when we're old and crippled.
When I'm calling in like Phil and Martin to whatever show is here in Knoxville at the time.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it will happen anytime soon because, I mean.
Now, I do think a 12-team could be pretty soon.
Well, and I had one of my coworkers, he was disagreeing with me today. Most of you know who he is.
Yep.
He's like, I just don't like change. I'm like, okay, well, picture this. Let's go to March Madness, for example. You take that 64-team playoff or tournament. You narrow it down to 8 teams. Nobody's going to watch that if their team's not in it. And you just had like a glorified exhibition game, like in the Bahamas or in some sort of NBA arena as like basically a consolation game. Nobody's watching that.
It leads to people not caring if you only have 8 teams, especially players. Players won't care.
Exactly.
Well, I guess like some teams still do care about getting a good bowl game like a New Year's Six. I guess just where's the cutoff of it just being, you know, you only have 4 teams, and then everybody else just doesn't care. Or you see what I'm saying? Because, like, in the 32-team, it's definitely playoff or bust.
Right.
But if it goes to 12, is it necessarily 12 or bust? Like, if you're ranked number 13.
And I think once it's 12, it is get in or bust.
Yeah, I don't know. That's the problem, man, because it's like if you have you can have a decent season and still not get into it. And then what happens then? You're going to play your JV team?
Pretty much.
Music City Bowl or whatever, Peach Bowl. Peach Bowl, my bad.
No, that's a good bowl now.
Outback, whatever they put in there, outside of 12.
Who's 13 right now in the rankings?
Who is 13 right now? That would be LSU, I think.
No, they're 14.
Yeah. That would be Florida State.
Florida State. So Florida State would be out of it.
Oh, everybody would be sitting out for that.
Yeah.
And speaking of players sitting out for Tennessee and its bowl game, whatever that may be, because now we're seeing that Ohio State is most likely going to decline its Rose Bowl bid and try to push its way into the Orange Bowl, which should have been Tennessee's slot against Clemson. So, basically, everything has revolved around bending over backwards for Ohio State.
It's always been that way.
And, of course, they're going to bend over backwards for Alabama. Granted, you know, even though Tennessee should be ranked ahead of Alabama, Alabama has done more for college football in the past 15 years than what Ohio State has done.
I'm not so sure that we're going to get kicked out of the Orange Bowl just yet. I mean, it wouldn't shock me, but, I mean, you got to think about it, man. How many times have you seen Clemson and Ohio State play? thousands in the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
You've never seen Tennessee Clemson. There's been always beef between us for
since the 70s.
Since Butch Jones has been here for
We played him in a bowl game in 2003.
Okay. 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been beef between Tennessee and Clemson. People have talked about it since Butch was here in, 2014, 2013, 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to have that team play. It just makes up – it looks good just visually, too. You got two orange teams playing in the Orange Bowl.
It'd literally be the Orange Bowl.
Yeah, the thing Coke said the other night was that they don't know if they put USC in that bowl game because they were there, a couple years ago?
What game?
Rose Bowl.
Well, if they win, they're in the playoff.
So it'd be
– he's assuming they lose to Utah, I guess what you're saying.
I'm talking about Ohio State, sorry. He said Ohio State would not be in the Rose Bowl because they put them in there a couple years ago or something.
Put them there last year.
So, yeah. I mean, well, that's the thing is, like, you don't win the Big Ten and you don't make it to the college football playoff. Guess what? You're going to the Rose Bowl.
Yep.
That's your fault as a team.
It's like, well, we don't want to play Utah again. Well, then win.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do is win, and you don't put yourself in these situations. Because I'm pretty sure that's who they played last year, was it not?
They had played Utah,
but the
projection now has Ohio State against Washington because they're assuming that USC beats Utah.
Well, and if you don't want these consistent rematches, then expand to 32 teams. I don't know what to tell you.
That's not fair to us or any other team in the New Year's Six Bowls because if you move Ohio State out of the Rose Bowl and put them in the Orange Bowl, then that
puts us against Tulane.
Yeah, well, that sets off everything else too, right? Yeah.
Yes.
So you're going to put what? Would Clemson stay in the Orange Bowl in that situation?
Yeah.
Yes, they would.
And then we would play Tulane, and then who would play Washington in the Rose Bowl then?
Most likely Penn State.
Yeah.
Okay, what about the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl?
The Peach Bowl is a playoff game.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it is this year.
Oh, yeah, Atlanta and Phoenix, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Am I missing one then?
The Sugar Bowl, it's going to go to
LSU.
Bama.
It'll go to Bama.
And
Kansas State.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah,
it's a crappy bowl game.
Yeah.
I'm honestly kind of glad that we're not going to the Sugar Bowl because I don't want to play Kansas State at noon.
No.
No, that would that'd be a vibe killer for sure, considering the Rose Bowl is supposed to be played at 7 o'clock. It's supposed to be your marquee game that evening.
Yeah.
And now I think we're starting to see what the clown show really is with the NCAA. I mean, and the playoff committee, everybody that's on these bowl committees – I think you're starting to see how much of a clown show this actually is. I mean, there's no consistency there. The only thing that they are consistent at is being non-consistent.
Consistent and being good liars.
I mean, that's all they are.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Kirk carrying water for Ohio State to go to the Orange Bowl. You've got – and the thing is, you can sit there and tell me that all these meetings are behind closed doors and there's no outside influence. That's a lie. There is outside influence in everything, in every industry, no matter what it is. There's outside deals being done at places, you know, inside of universities, within these committees. And there's stuff being done at well-known companies that we know, like Walmart, Kroger. There's stuff that goes on outside of those boardrooms that gets brought in.
How do you think Shiano got here? Who pushed that? Haslam, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's the biggest donor at the school.
Charlie Anderson.
Both of them.
Yep.
Charlie Anderson's in charge of Dish. Jimmy Haslam runs Pilot.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know how you can. How do you deny a bid? I mean, just take the bid, man. Just play the bowl game, man. Just play it.
That's not the committee's problem. The New Year's Six Bowl.
Yeah.
You take what you like. If you don't, get out.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what I would say, but they won't say it.
Yeah, I mean, half the players are going to opt out anyway.
I mean, if you deny that bid, I just don't give you another bowl game or go play in the Duke's Mayo Bowl.
Well, that was a great game last year, the Rose Bowl. Between Ohio State and Utah,
mm-hmm.
why would you not just want to play in that again? You want it. Sorry that you can't beat Michigan, and Michigan owns you now.
I mean, it's one of the most prestigious bowls that there are. I mean, Alabama has it in their fight song.
Yeah. They have
that and Georgia Tech in their fight song. And the thing is, like, the only way they go to a Rose Bowl now is if you if it's one of the semifinals games, which now the ultimatum has been given to the Rose Bowl, or the Rose Bowl has gave its ultimatum, whatever it may be. And it's just, I don't know, man.
I mean,
we're really starting to see now, like, how corrupt all this is.
I mean, you have the Michigan AD on the playoff committee.
Yeah.
The Kentucky AD's on it. I mean, we looked at it, a gym teacher's on there.
Yeah.
They don't have any, I don't know how they select these people, but I would, if you just want to, if you just want to, like, get rid of the Rose Bowl problem, just make the Rose Bowl the permanent national championship site.
I mean, they're not going to do that anymore with all these nice NFL stadiums that pop up.
I don't care. If you want to keep it traditional, I'd much rather watch a national championship game at the Rose Bowl than SoFi Stadium, yeah, which was built a year ago.
Oh, yeah. My dream scenario would be playing the national championship at the Kibbe Dome.
Where is that?
Idaho. It's literally half of a trash can that made a dome, and there it is.
It's like Ole Miss's indoor.
Oh, yeah.
Indoor practice facility.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know, man. It's just...
Tennessee takes on Michigan in the Kibbe Dome.
It's just, I mean, it's just mind-boggling how corrupt this stuff is, man.
It also proves we're not back to being elite yet. One of the elitist college football. That was pretty clear last night.
I mean, they've been pushing the West Coast agenda for years.
I'm not talking about West Coast. I'm just talking about Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, and I think Michigan is considered elitist now again.
I mean, they've made two in a row.
And they're trying to push USC now that Lincoln Riley's there.
And we knew that was coming.
That's what I was just saying.
So I was five.
And weird faces are being made in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Stay with us. We're going to get into a little bit of transfer portal information when we return. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio on the way. Back here on Overtime Fan Run Radio, some interesting news coming out of the University of Tennessee today. We have had, so far, four players enter the transfer portal. The two Jimmys, Jimmy Holiday, Jimmy Callaway, Holiday.
Same people, almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
One throws punches, one returns kicks.
Jimmy Callaway's career ended when he dropped that ball at Florida last year.
That and... I mean, it is what it is. I don't wish anything bad for the guys. I mean, go ball out wherever you want to ball out. Also, two running backs have entered the portal, Lenith Whitehead and freshman four-star Justin Williams-Thomas. And Lenith Whitehead, he was never going to play. Stayed hurt. It is what it is. Wish him well. Justin Williams-Thomas, I really wanted him to see it through because I felt like he could have been that big back that we needed.
It's good for us, though, right? We can go get a... two backs out of the portal now.
Trey Sanders.
Former five-star.
And there's plenty out there. You just got to find that next Jahmyr Gibbs. God, yeah.
By the way, has anyone else noticed Indiana has had three quarterbacks enter the portal?
Bazelak entered
today.
How? He already used his transfer.
He's apparently immediately
sit out a year?
I guess so.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I guess he – I mean, I don't really keep up with Indiana sports, so.
Indiana's just a quarterback fumbler.
Yep.
Penix. You know Penix was terrible last year at Indiana, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's awful. Now he's amazing at Washington.
Well, and I mean, that's the thing with some of these guys. You know, they're not good where they're at.
Yeah.
Hendon Hooker, Virginia Tech. You look at what happened there. He comes here, Heisman candidate.
I wonder what happened to that kid at Indiana that we played in the bowl game.
I don't know.
What was his name? Peyton. Wasn't he named after Peyton Manning? Peyton, no. Oh, let me look that up.
He's probably already graduated because that was 2019.
I would be okay with him if he's somehow still in the system, let him come here.
Still in the system.
I mean, you just have to be, you look at the transfer portal across the nation, Trayshawn Holden entered the transfer portal. Why would we see if him? Alabama, two Alabama offensive linemen entered the transfer portal. Another wide receiver from Alabama entered today. So a lot of people entering it today.
Shout out to Sean for sending me this. Nicole Auerbach, senior writer for The Athletic, tweeted out that if the Buckeyes land at number 5 on Sunday, the Rose Bowl is strongly considering taking Penn State instead of Ohio State this year.
It's just awesome, isn't it?
Definitely.
No.
I love getting screwed twice in 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. It's just how it works. Some notable names in the transfer portal. Some of these you already know. Connor Bazelak was at Missouri, then at Indiana. Apparently, he still has 2 years of eligibility left. Luke Altmyer from Ole Miss. Cade McNamara has got 1 year left. Jeff Sims at Georgia Tech. Jack Tuttle, another Indiana quarterback, 1 year.
Ramsey graduated last year, so that was the guy's name, Peyton Ramsey.
And then you start looking at running backs. Arlen Harris from Stanford entered the portal. All these are four-star guys coming out of high school. Trey Sanders, of course, a five-star out of Alabama. Travion Cooley, 5'11", 208 out of Louisville. And then Josh Fleeks, 6-foot-tall, 170 pounds, though, out of Baylor.
So West Virginia corner entered as well, just going down the list. I mean, so many people.
Tulsa quarterback Braylon Braxton.
Wide receivers Dante Thornton, a high four-star out of Oregon. Of course, we know about Dominique Lovett out of Mizzou. Two Auburn receivers, J.J. Evans, Xavion Capers. They're in the portal as well. I mean, it's changed the way that you recruit. And it benefits a team like Ole Miss having the transfer portal, because it really is hard to recruit out of high school or kids out of high school to come to Oxford, Mississippi.
Yeah.
I mean, he has taken advantage of the transfer portal and done a really good job with it.
That's how he's made his whole living. I mean, he missed kind of with Dylan Gabriel sudden getting Jackson Dart, but that's pretty much been his only miss.
Baylor's backup quarterback entered. He was a four-star coming out of high school.
I mean, that's the thing. Is there...
There's a lot of people.
I mean, that's the thing. If these guys aren't getting the NIL deals that they think they wanted, they're not getting the playing time, they're going to transfer.
Oregon transfer, that wide receiver, Dante Thornton.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
They're already saying, will he be the next big name? Caleb Williams recruits to join him at USC.
Yeah,
seriously?
I just saw that, yeah.
Dude, last year they took, you know, Travis Dye, that was at Oregon, the running back.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He went to USC.
Yep.
Like, they just take everybody.
Jordan Addison went there as well from Pitt.
I mean, I know we've been the beneficiary of a few of these, but should it be a rule that you can't transfer within conference?
Should.
Yeah, because isn't that a rule in basketball? Is it not?
No, because we were able to get Justin Powell from Auburn.
That is true. Okay.
Yeah.
Useless.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, where's he at now?
Washington State.
Yeah.
And he's not doing anything there either.
He's putting up some points, but...
I forgot he left.
I wonder where he's transferring to next year.
I don't know.
And Louisville, Brandon Huntley Hatfield, they are 0-7 to start the year, but they're not giving up. That's what they said today.
They're 0-7?
They're not giving up.
Will they be the first NCAA team to go
winless? Yep.
Who was it? Hugh Jackson from the Browns goes 0-16. Nobody can do the job that I'm doing in Cleveland. It's like, no, man, you can put me on the sideline. I can go 0-16.
I have a quick question. How many years does Caleb Williams have left? Is it one?
Two. Pretty
before
sure.
He enters the draft.
No, he is one because he played all of last year at Oklahoma.
Okay, so he's a sophomore, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so I was looking at the recruiting, and Malachi Nelson, one of the top quarterbacks, is coming to USC. It's
Oh, they're paying him big bag.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
A&M tried to steal him and Malachi Nelson from USC, and if that had happened, I would have worried that Nico would go to USC, but I don't think I have to worry about that.
No.
No, Nico is—he's going to be in Knoxville.
My question,
like, he's going to be on campus here in about 2 weeks. He's an early enrollee.
Yeah,
I would love for him to pan out because I've not. I guess when's the last very high five-star recruit that panned out at Tennessee? Tyler Bray. Quarterback.
Quarterback.
Yeah.
Casey Clawson.
What? 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. I mean, Tyler Bray
was a four.
Tyler Bray was not a five, was he?
He was a high four. He played like a five.
JG was a five over Jalen Hurts.
Don't remind us. Thanks for that reminder, man.
I mean, you look at the other quarterbacks we had, a lot of them were three stars. Dobbs was a four star. Riley Ferguson was a four star. And there were two three stars above them, Justin Worley and Nathan Peterman.
Every single one of those quarterbacks went on to do something, except Justin Worley, and that's who we decided to start.
That's my thing, man. We fired Philip Fulmer to put mountains on helmets, play at NASCAR tracks, and to have Josh Dobbs, Nathan Peterman, and Riley Ferguson all on the same roster, but it's to start Justin Worley.
It's kind of insane. I mean, I don't think we'll be quarterback fumblers like Indiana now that Heupel's here, but we have had a ton of quarterback talent that just hasn't done anything here and just goes on and is amazing elsewhere.
Well, and then you have cases like Harrison Bailey, you know, 5-star on some services, 4-star on others. But then you look at who he was throwing to and why his numbers were so good in high school. When you're throwing to the best tight end and the best receivers in the nation, yeah, you're going to rack up some yards. You're going to rack up some stats, much like Justin Worley did at his high school in South Carolina. Guess who he was throwing to? Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yeah, I mean you have to put these into perspective about who these people are playing to. You could have put me back there and just me throw the ball to the best wide receiver, the best tight end. I'm going to put numbers up. That's why, I don't know, getting quarterbacks from small schools like that who have inflated numbers is always worrisome.
Well, it's not a small school. It's Marietta. It's like the best school in Georgia.
I know it is.
Yeah, my little brother in my fraternity, he was a coach down there.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
At Marietta?
Yeah.
So did he have any insight on Harrison Bailey?
Yeah.
He knew he wasn't good?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yep. There's your inside sources.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was us in Michigan were his final two. He would have been the perfect Michigan quarterback. Those dudes, like,
he might have been a great Michigan quarterback.
Yeah.
I swear all those dudes are like the exact same. Like, I didn't even know until like a few weeks ago that J.J. McCarthy was a new guy. Because like him and Cade McNamara, they all look the same.
They all play the same. Yep.
Like, even the guys, when they started getting good with Harbaugh, I forgot who it was, but they would just swap out these 6'1", 6'2", white quarterbacks, and they would just all be, like, plug and play. They'd all play the exact same.
Well, it's like Penn State. You know, it's a tradition that the starting quarterback usually wears number 14. To me, I've seen the same Penn State quarterback from the time I was born up until now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Sean Clifford.
Sean Clifford's been there since you were born.
Yep. And,
yep. I mean, he's been there. It feels like it's like a Paley Ellis when he was at Kansas. Paley Ellis was there for like 8 years, and he played all 8 years.
I mean, it's like John Petty at Alabama, John Fulkerson at Tennessee. They just never left.
I mean, it's wild how many years I've seen Sean Clifford.
Like, is it weird watching a game now and not seeing John Fulkerson on the floor?
No,
not really.
I mean, he's been on the floor more than your all's adult life.
Yeah, well, he committed when I was I think either a sophomore or junior in high school. So.
Yeah.
Or maybe even before that.
I think we may have been freshmen.
No, excuse me. He committed when I was in eighth grade.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking right. He committed when I was in eighth grade, and he finished his year last year when I was a junior in college. So.
six, seven years.
My man should be a doctor.
I mean, you're going to be here that long, you might as well get something out of it, right?
I mean, he could have went to the pharmacy program.
Don't get a finance career or business major. I'll be a finance major.
Man, information management, don't do it.
It could be worse, guys. It could be worse. You could have a communications degree.
Yeah.
What did you get a degree in?
What I just said.
Oh, okay.
Take the hit, man. It's okay. At least it could translate to your actual job now.
Yeah.
I'm a finance major, and I'm not here crunching up numbers, but it's okay. I like this job. I like doing what I do. Just don't put any finance in front of me, and I'll kill you.
You could be the station accountant.
No, thanks.
That's me.
You could be the station accountant.
Yep.
He's an accounting nerd.
Nice.
Good. I'm going to need you here in about 2-ish months. Want to go do my taxes?
Can't help you on taxes, man. Can't help you. I'll
Why not?
I'll get to be able to help you, but not right now.
Is it because you're not licensed?
Yeah.
Who cares, man? Just do it under the table.
Yeah, us?
Yeah, let's just broadcast to the world that we're about to commit fraud.
Yeah, let me just commit tax evasion.
Be like, hey, remember that time that producer Matthew committed tax fraud?
Yeah, now I go to jail. I appreciate that.
It's like you come in here, or you go into your house, your car, you turn on the Fan Run Radio app, and it's just Davis.
Yep.
It's like,
hello, world.
Welcome to overtime. Jake's not here, and producer Matthew is not here.
They won't be here for a long time.
They've both been indicted on tax evasion charges. And
message from Knox County Detention Facility. Press 1 to accept this call. You buzz me in there. I use my 30 seconds to just phone in here every day.
You could do that. I don't know if the Billy McFarland, the guy that did the Fire Festival, you know who that is?
Yes, yeah. Fire Fest.
He did a podcast. He got a burner phone. They snuck it in jail, and he tried doing a podcast while he was in jail, and they caught him, and they threw him in solitary for like 7 months.
Nice.
That has to be the worst, just sitting in a room by yourself, nothing to do, no one to talk to, 4 months.
He said they would let him out into a cage outside for an hour a week.
Yeah.
For recreation?
Yeah, just... Yeah,
it's like 23 hours a day in solitary confinement?
No. You have 167 hours in solitary confinement and one outside a week.
Jesus. Let's go to break. When we come back, we're going to give you some prop bets because that's what we do. 865-546-8200, your number if you want to hop on with us this evening. Fan Run Radio, Overtime, back with more right after this. Between that one
Paolo
and Drew Holiday, they got his odds at plus 115 on that. So I think his actual total is at like 19.5.
I don't know why Middleton is coming back, but Drew Holiday has played really good.
They said he's come maybe in a week or so. I saw it somewhere on Twitter. I don't know the exact date. But if people want to make an easy bet, Anthony Davis is shooting 21% from three this year. So.
Still can't shoot.
Yep.
All righty. And some round robin bets for college basketball that I'm just going to throw out there. VCU taking on Vanderbilt. They're a 2.5-point favorite. I like that. Dayton, a 19.5-point favorite against Western Michigan. Cincinnati, an 18.5-point favorite against NJIT. And Georgia, 17.5-point favorite over Hampton.
Is that the New Jersey Institute of Technology?
I think so.
I don't know how reliable this guy is, but Fred Volstone on Twitter says that breaking big transfer portal news coming soon regarding addition to the Tennessee roster.
Regarding an addition?
Yes.
I have a question for you guys. When people sign to Miami, do you think those people from Miami are going to flip now because of how bad Miami is?
No. Because if they sign the NIL there, they can't have those NIL rights anywhere else, right?
That's
how it is with Nico.
I think that is correct.
We own his rights.
Yeah,
Spire does.
I saw recruiting day the number two player in the nation he's a corner and he's signed to Miami, and I just don't know how that's gonna turn out.
So this just broke a few minutes ago. Former interim Nebraska head coach Mickey Joseph has been arrested and booked into the Lancaster County Jail on suspicion of strangulation and third degree assault.
What the hell?
Wow.
That to his player?
Don't know. Wow.
It's interesting. Hopefully Fred Volstone is talking about Dominic Lovett.
That would be huge. That would be really huge. I'd love to get that information before we go off the air. Like I said, we're going to take you right up till tip-off. Let's get into that game a little bit. So, McNeese State, their tallest starter, is 6'8". They got two guys that stand about 6'8", both forwards, obviously. The only guy that has a height advantage on us is the two guard position, in which Vescovy is going to be guarding Harwin Francois, who's 6'5", 200.
Harwin Francois puts up a whopping 4 points, four rebounds, and 0.3 assists a game.
That guy is a baller.
Yeah, their top two scorers are Trey English and Jonathan Massey. Those are the only two in double digits. Everybody else is in the low single digits.
Trey English.
Why do we know that name?
Sounds familiar.
I'll find out.
Why do we know that name?
Trey Golden played here.
Trey Golden played here.
Kim English coached here.
Trey English. Interesting.
Connecting the dots.
Trey Golden. Did not expect a Trey Golden reference. Because every time I see him, I just imagine that awful Adidas basketball uniform they gave us.
I like Trey Golden.
Trey Golden was a decent player here.
Yeah, I don't think there's any connection. Trey English, sophomore out of Baltimore, Maryland. So, I don't know. It just sounds
It just sounded really familiar, didn't it?
Yeah.
Interesting.
He was a two-star.
I didn't even know they made two stars.
You didn't know they made two stars?
I knew you never see them. It's only three star above.
I always see three star.
Like, they don't even have a 24/7 for them.
I mean, that's the thing with basketball is there's so many guys that you're essentially a three star and above, or you're nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, do you think Tennessee covers?
No. don't know.
That's a lot of points.
How much do you say? 35 and a half?
Yeah.
Mine says 34 and a half now.
So, here's this is why I don't bet on games like this. Now, if Houston is a 30-point favorite against a nobody, I'm probably taking the Houston spread because you know that they're going to score.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In cases like that. And it's just it's really weird.
Well,
I had a heartbreaker last night.
I mean, considering the points that we put up against Kansas, and have we, besides the exhibition, have we scored over 75?
No.
No.
So, McNeese State's last two games, they played at Baylor. They lost by 29. They played at UT Martin Monday night, and they lost by 3. And then they play here tonight. So, do we think we're better than Baylor?
No.
So, I mean, Baylor beat them by 29.
Baylor also didn't cover the spread last night, I'm pretty sure.
They lost to – who did they lose to?
They were 5.5-point favorites.
They lost to somebody by like 20.
Marquette.
That's what it was.
By
yep.
30.
Yep.
26 points.
Yep. Hey, college basketball is a weird thing.
College basketball is beauty. That's what college basketball is. It's just beautiful. It's an art. Everybody loves it.
It's really weird. Ohio State plays at Duke tonight. Basketball.
Hmm.
Other games are decent.
Yeah, so Baylor was a 5.5-point favorite last night against Marquette.
Yeah, lost by 26. UNC plays at Assembly Hall tonight.
One thing was my parlay was looking good up to that point.
Hmm.
Yeah, I told y'all to watch American.
Uh-huh.
They were a 4.5-point favorite, end up winning by 26. I took Maryland to cover 12.5 against Louisville because Louisville's bad. I took Illinois to cover 12.5 against Syracuse because Syracuse is bad. I took Houston to cover the 25.5 against Norfolk State. They won by damn near 50. I mean, I'm telling you, if you see someone paired up with a really terrible team, it's probably okay to take that spread.
Is American your early Cinderella pick for March?
No.
50 points.
They're not there yet.
50 points is insane.
Well, that UNC Indiana game, UNC,
they won 100-52.
Indiana nice. Is a 4.5-point favorite, so I don't know. About
against
that
who?
One. North Carolina.
Stay away.
I think North Carolina bounces back.
Yeah, I think they bounce back. I think they lose 3 straight.
Stay away from that game.
What is that? A couple years ago, Utah beat Mississippi Valley State like by 93.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You have those games in women's basketball all the time.
Yeah, well, that's different. You got like South Carolina, Stanford, and then everybody else.
Yeah.
Oh, the one that broke me last night, though, between Baylor. The other one that broke me, Virginia. I had them at minus 3.5. They won by 2.
Ooh. Keihai Clark did not come in clutch.
I'll tell you one that did scare me last night. This one actually hit. At a same game parlay with the Knicks and the Pistons.
Damn.
took Anthony Simons. Actually, this is same game parlay plus. I had Luka over 2.5 threes. Curry over 4.5 threes. Both of those hit, obviously. Anthony Simons scored 20-plus. That hit. Marvin Bagley. I hit him at under 13.5 points. I look, and he already had 11 in, like, the second quarter. And he did not score another basket the rest of the game.
Well, that's good, right? You said under 13?
Yep.
Hey, does anybody want to take a guess at what Florida State's record is in basketball right now, men's?
Probably 1-6.
Take a guess.
0-7.
1-7. Straddlement. No idea. They play Purdue tonight at home.
Purdue!
And Purdue is a 16.5-point favorite. It's interesting. Not no Florida State. I always thought Florida State always has a good team. Or decent.
I mean, yeah.
Respectable.
They have a respectable
Leonard
team.
Leonard Hamilton, they always put out draft picks. So, I don't.
ACC down bad.
Yeah.
ACC down really bad.
I'm trying to find this game that you talk about. The 90-point win, I can't find it. What were the two teams?
Utah, Mississippi Valley State.
Thank you.
There was another one. It was about 11 or so years ago, maybe longer. No, it was actually back in 2009. It was Bruce's second to last year. We played UNC Asheville. The final score of that game, I'm not kidding, I think it was like something along the lines of 125 to 25.
The score of this game was 143 to 49.
Little 94 point win.
Oh man.
There was one, it was the Elite Eight team that did it. So I think we were playing like UNC Asheville. I'm looking it up right now. And I'm not kidding. This was the worst game ever. Like, I was still watching the game just because I wanted to see us win by 100.
There was a 117-point blowout in 1997.
Interesting.
Excuse me, I was wrong. It was UNC Asheville. The final score was 124 to 49.
Nice.
I'm going to switch it up real quick. Interesting. Capital One Orange Bowl tweets out, who else is excited for Selection Sunday?
And we're not.
They put out all their projections. Five of the six have Tennessee Clemson. One has Ohio State Clemson. That would be Action Network.
Who?
Brett McMurphy. Yep. Capital One Orange Bowl is trying to push Tennessee Clemson by posting this.
They might be.
Yeah.
I'd take it. Take a quick time out. Final segment, hour number one, coming up right here on Fan Run Radio. Back here on Overtime, final segment of hour number one, brought to you by Linderman Sports Medicine. Give Dr. Laura Linderman a call today. Get yourself back in the game of life. Many of us will have starkly different opinions when it comes to Christmas tree decorating, from the correct date to put it up, or whether to make it colorful lights or clear lights. Now a new debate has been sparked, and Christmas lovers just aren't sure what to think. Because one woman has revealed she gives her artificial Christmas tree a bath before displaying it each year, sharing pics of the tree soaking in the tub. Although this certainly makes for an unusual sight at first glance, she's not doing this to give the tree a nice relaxing pamper session ahead of the festive season. Detailing her reasoning on Facebook, the house proud woman, who has recently gone from a pet to pet free home, explained that she always makes sure to get rid of any dust or dirt before covering her tree with twinkling decorations once again.
Guys, so, questions.
Why not just use a feather duster?
Yeah, so what was your question?
Multiple questions, actually.
Okay.
For that statement.
Yep.
Is this a real tree or a fake tree? She threw in a bath. So a fake tree.
Mm-hmm.
So why are you doing that?
Yeah, what is the point of throwing your fake tree in a bathtub?
Apparently it gets all the dust off.
Just take
a Swiffer.
Be a normal human being, man. Just get a dust wand or whatever. Just shake it down.
Y'all wipe dust off your Christmas tree?
No.
Just put it in
a storage container and we throw it up and pull it out again the next year. I don't dust it off or anything and I just throw it up.
Throw it back in the box. You throw it up in the attic. You never see it again for another 364 days.
Yep. We used to break it up and put it in containers, but my mom had a grand idea. She saw on TikTok. People, you decorate the whole tree, but then you wrap it. And like styrofoam, not styrofoam. You wrap
saran
it.
Wrap.
Saran wrap. So you just keep the whole tree together. She has this awesome idea. So she tried to get me to drag it out of the attic Sunday with her. I think it's heavier than hell. Can't do it with two people. And the top part just comes off. Yeah, this is stupid.
I mean, I was at your house one day putting up that Christmas tree. We had to break out the ladder to get the star on it.
Yeah.
Yep.
I got mad at my star and threw it. I couldn't get the top of the tree to bend down to hold it on the way I needed it to, so I just got mad and threw it.
Do you have the wand, the thing that turns the lights on and off?
Yeah.
Yeah. I do too.
Also had to decorate my whole house, the outside of the house.
Nice.
Call me Clark W. You all don't get that reference.
It's from some Christmas movie.
Yeah.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, it's when he turns on the lights and it like destroys the power grid or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen the clip. It's going to be on Twitter somewhere in the next like 2 weeks. Not going to watch the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. I was on my roof. On my roof. Decorated my whole front porch. Got my reindeer out. Got my inflatable dog.
You know there's people that you can pay for them to come decorate your house.
No. That's not traditional.
It's not, but you can do it.
You can do it.
So when do you put your Christmas tree up?
Usually the Sunday after Thanksgiving.
That's when we try to put ours up. Attempted.
Yeah, that's usually when it happens. People that put their Christmas tree up before Thanksgiving.
Such a pain in the ass to get it up. God.
Well, the worst thing about how that hurt, my situation is we put the tree up. The lights in the middle don't work. It's like, ah, crap. I'm like, do we just go buy another tree or what do we do? So I go to buy another tree. Guess what?
Those lights don't work.
Those lights don't work. So now I have to take this big old tree back to Lowe's and get my money back.
Yeah. It's one time we were out skiing. We're in Utah during Christmas time. And, of course, Mom wanted to have an actual tree in there because it's Christmas time, you know. So, you know, just out there, it's not like here. Like, you drive in Utah, they've got, like, actual trees everywhere they're selling because they grow in the forest over there.
Oh, you go out in the country here and you can get you a Christmas tree.
Yeah. Well, it's not like here, you know, you'd never see anyone selling real Christmas trees. But anyways, so we bought a real Christmas tree. It's about twice as tall as the ceiling in here.
God.
And, of course, it was real. And so to even get to the place, there was like a whole flight of stairs you had to go up first. So we're dragging this big ass thing, and all the needles are just going everywhere. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not cleaning this up, man. Somebody else just do it. We just had to get a real tree.
Somebody else's job.
Did you bring a saw?
No, man. I mean, back in Memphis, when was the last time we saw people selling real Christmas trees?
They don't. They really don't.
They don't.
Home Depot does, and on Lowe's, I think.
Yeah, I think that's about it in Memphis because...
So, you know, I can't have a real tree in my house.
What, are you allergic?
Yeah, to the thing? I'm allergic to trees.
I like the smell, but it's just such a pain.
It is a pain.
Like, my lungs tighten up every time.
You can just get a candle, man. Just light a candle.
I don't know, just get in the
halo. Yeah, light a candle next to the tree and watch that thing just burst into flames.
Not next to it, but...
Just, I don't know, man. Just get in the halo and hope for the best.
Just get an EpiPen and stab yourself.
I've got a bunch of those.
Yep.
The new one's really convenient, the one that comes in a little box.
Yeah, I had to stab myself in the leg with one of those.
How'd that go over for you?
Oh, it hurt like hell. But it saved my life. Yep.
Cares?
Oh, nice. My goodness. Hour number one in the books. 15 minutes of hour number two, or maybe 10, or however many, coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.